And it's time now for the best of ourselves with Marcia Hyatt. Good morning.
Good morning, CJ.
What a nice day.
It is stunning.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good day to be here.
Yes.
I want to talk about the art of intentional living, which is partly about how you show up each day, but also how we do our whole life. And I've been interviewing people, a variety of people, to try to get my own head around this. I have my own stories, my own readings,
mm-hmm.
but I thought it'd be kind of interesting to interview a variety of people from life that I see from my distance that they look like they're living intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been surprising to me, and I've just done four or five of these interviews, what's been surprising is that two men that I thought clearly were living intentionally by looking at their choices, you know, from a distance. When I said, would you be willing to let me talk to you about the art of intentional living? One man who's been my mentor for many years said, I know nothing about that. I said, really? He said, no, I don't think I can talk about that. And I said, but and his name is Barry Ashi. I said, but Barry, you look at what you've done with your life. He said, I don't think of that as intentional. So what was interesting was, let me just tell you about his story and then the perspective I'm starting to get on this. So he reluctantly and with some forethought agreed to talk to me about the art of intentional living. And so here's what his story is. He was a very poor kid in the south end of Boston, goes through school, gets his PhD, ends up being the chair of human relations at Boston University. Leaves that job, tenured job, because he's discovered he loves creating learning experiences and he has a gift for it. And he is also interested in human systems as systems. If we could understand ourselves as a system more, we may be able to be more intentional as human beings. So this is his work. So he leaves a tenured job and partners up with the National Training Labs to do what he calls, was called at the time, the Power Lab, which is this very intense learning experience that he co-created initially with Betty Friedan, the late feminist in the Black Caucus. And he's looking at power and he creates this crazy, crazy learning experience. I mean, imagine you're going off to this leadership program. You know, you imagine you're going to have donuts at 8:15, you know, this is crazy. I mean, you create the haves and the have-nots. It gets out of control. I mean, the very first one, the have-nots were disabling the haves' cars. I mean, it's crazy wild, but it's about power and how do you have power? And Barry thinks this is a fascinating improv, you know. Well, the National Training Labs found it out of control and crazy, and they parted ways. So he's left this tenured job. He's now a bartender in the war zone, as he calls it, of Boston. I mean, he said, there were like no, you want a beer, you get a beer. There's no like Sam Adams, you get a beer. We got a beer, you got a beer. It's a very, very rough place. Right. And but he was following, you know, think about those former professor colleagues that he had that are now looking at him at this as this bartender thing. God, what a mistake, what a loser. And this goes to the Joseph Campbell quote, which I don't have written, but in my head, it's something like, follow your bliss, and where there were walls, there will be doors. And for Barry, you know, he's following his bliss, and he's down and out, making nothing. But he had written a lot about organizations and systems, you know, patterns that repeat. And this guy at Procter & Gamble was the door. And he said, you know, I think you got something here. So he basically gives him a job so he can quit the bartending. And he starts creating workshops and whatever. And he gets really quite developed in teaching people about organizations and systems. Gets a lifetime achievement award for the National Academy of Management. But that's not enough. You know, he wanted to write about it, wants to get out into the world because really it's his mission to help people understand and be more compassionate to each other. So he tries to write this book. He says, I have more rejections than you could possibly imagine in virtually everything I've done. But he stays with it. He's persistent. And then again, the next door was a publisher, Barrett Kohler, who said, I think you've got something here. Let me work with you. And the same has happened with many other endeavors. At 75, he went to playwriting school. At 79, he's working on a new book. This is a man who doesn't think of himself as intentional.
Hmm.
So when we talked about it more, he said, you know what? What's coming to me is something that James Hillman wrote about in The Soul's Code called the Acorn Theory, which I had not heard of. But the Acorn Theory is that each individual holds a potential for their unique possibilities inside themselves. And so the question is, can we peel away enough of that which is not ours and allow our acorn to grow into the oak? And Barry's quote was, life goes on inertia, and if we're lucky, we get a chance to pull away that which really doesn't fit. And so for him, by following his dream and doing, making all these hard choices, I mean, to put on a learning experience for people who are disabling cars, to do it the second time and to do it the third time, that's really scary for me to think about. But it was his work. It was his acorn. And, you know, in hindsight, he said, looking back, I see now that I was doing what was mine to do. I was creating learning experiences that help people understand humanity more effectively. And that's my work. But I didn't, you know, you'd look at it in the short term, you know, at the bar or this unpublished work, and you think, oh man, yeah, that's tough. But it was persistence and his commitment to stay on his path. So another man I interviewed, who I won't go into his story at this time, but he also is someone in, you know, looking at a distance, very intentional life. I don't know, I'm not intentional. But in talking to him, what he said was, you know what? I think if you talk about intentionality as the long story and the short story, there's the short story, which is the day-to-day. He says, you know, I would love to go to cocktail parties and say, yes, I do yoga for an hour each day, and I meditate three times a day. And, you know, he said, but I don't have this Zen clean. I have a messy life with a couple of young children. He said, but if you do the long lens or the long story, you can see that I've made choices that have moved me in line with my values and in line with what's my core work to do. And he said, you know, I think it'd be a good service if you let people know that the art of intentional living is messy and not even apparent always in the moment. But when you look back at the path, you'll see that you have been walking your path. If you're lucky enough to have people come along to help, or experiences mm-hmm. come along, speed bumps in the road, as it were, to come along to help you not just do the inertia path, but to really say, what is mine to do? Mm-hmm. So let me just close with a part of the poem by Antonio Machado, which I think carries this. This is, you walking, your footprints are the road and nothing else. Wayfarer, there is no road. You make the road by walking. By walking, you make the road. So the art of intentional living is a compilation of many choices.